One of the old Puritan preachers reminds us that it is a known experiment that the more spiritual any truth is, the more will carnal object against it. And how we see that in this world today, that the more spiritual a truth is, the more will carnal object against it. And why is that? It is because of our carnal nature. It is because of the outworking of that carnal nature that men do not desire to know and to experience and to live according to the truth of God.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. You've been listening to I Lay My Sins on Jesus here on Let the Bible Speak. Welcome to our program today. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us once again as we continue to bring God's Word and God's truth to your soul. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale for the second part of the sermon entitled A Necessary Exhortation to Truth. Oh, how we need to hear the truth of God, how we need to keep that truth and stand for that truth in such an evil age as this. And so may the Lord bless His word to your heart today.
There's to be discernment. Do you desire to be discerning? To listen, to hear, to obey that truth that glorifies the God of heaven. That's our purpose in life, to glorify God. Can you glorify God by listening, by heeding, by supporting that which is in error? Can you support those that change the Word of God, that twist the Scriptures of truth, that say that all men will be saved regardless of what they do with Christ? Can you support and promote those who do not preach the true message of the gospel of Christ? Can you glorify God in doing that? And the answer is very clear. We cannot glorify God if we do that which is against His word, or others do that which is against His word, and we support them. That is not a glorifying of God. And therefore, that is the discernment, the consideration we need to give. Dear believer, consider the instruction. What instruction are you receiving? Is it instruction that will build you up? Instruction that is glorifying to God? I want you to see, secondly here, cease from error. Cease from error. This is what our text is getting at in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. Cease, my son. Cease from error. And the original Hebrew here means to stop. It means to leave undone. And Matthew Henry said, this is a good caution. If something is bad for you, you stop it. If something is bad for you, you stop doing it. I have a relative, and there's a particular type of food that if they had one little piece of it, little piece of corn, sweet corn, if they had one piece of that sweet corn, they would be ill. If they had a whole lot of that sweet corn, they would probably end up in the hospital. It's not that they don't like it. It's just whatever it is, they cannot handle eating it. And so if a little piece slips into food, they're going to feel somewhat unwell. And if it is bad for you, what do? If you're ill every time you eat something, what do? You stop eating it. If you're allergic to a particular type of food, if you're allergic to nuts, and many people are allergic to nuts, what do? You don't go to the supermarket and buy the biggest bags of nuts that they have and sit and eat them all in one afternoon. It's not good for you. It could be fatal to you. What do? You stop. You take care as well that nothing slips in. And so when you go to a restaurant, you're going to ask the question, is there nuts in this? Is there something in here I'm allergic to? You're going to take care of what you eat. Why? Because it's not good for you. And when we come to spiritual truth, this is good advice. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Why? It is not good for you. Spiritually, it's not good for you. That influence has to stop. And this can be a tough thing. Maybe there's someone we respect. Maybe there's an erroneous influence through them. Some doctrine that they preach may be good, but there's this influence that is against the truth of God. And there are many in this world who do good things. I once had a bit of a debate. I didn't start the debate, somebody else did. And then that debate was quickly ended. But I mentioned about one particular prosperity preacher. And I spoke about the great wealth of good doctrine that we have from men in the church. You know, what about this person and this person? Why would we pay attention here when there's such a great wealth of truth and preaching elsewhere? And someone wasn't too happy about it. They should have known better, but they weren't happy about it. And the errors that this person preached were put forth. The claim was made from Scripture. Those things weren't scriptural. And you know what the defense was? Sure, they do good things. They help this class of people. And they help that class of people. And there's a bit of sensitivity there. Now you're beginning to feel like a bad guy. But the reality is that the knowledge that they sought to give, the influence they had in doctrine, was that which was in error. Doesn't matter the good deeds they do. That can be commendable. But the reality is the doctrine was in error, has led, is leading men and women astray. The words of truth and purity are to be followed and believed. There's a Welsh preacher by the name of Crispus Evans. And if you're wondering why he was called by that name and you're thinking maybe he was born on the 25th of December, you'd be thinking right. He was given that name. He lost an eye as a young lad and was known as the one-eyed preacher of Wales. He was a man who knew the Lord and who was known as a great preacher of truth. But he suffered a great spiritual lapse due to the influence of false doctrine. There was a particular doctrine that greatly hindered the work in Baptist churches in Wales during a period of 10 to 15 years. There was one man who preached this error. It influenced others. It influenced churches. The man who preached it later left the ministry. And there were churches that were, if they were not closed, they were certainly not far from closing because of the influence of this. And one of its emphases was a more intellectual consideration of Christ for salvation, rather than a spiritual work in the heart. Rather than focusing upon the spiritual aspect, it was an intellectual consideration. And Evans wrote that this heresy affected him, and these are his words, paraphrased, but his words. I copied this right from a biography that takes from what he wrote down himself. It affected him in driving away the spirit of prayer for sinners. The lighter matters of the kingdom pressed heavier than the weightier. The power that gave zeal and confidence in the pulpit was lost. His heart sank within him. He lost communion and fellowship with God. He lost the spirit of prayer and the spirit of preaching. And he came to the point where he made a covenant with God and turned again from false doctrine to the truth. And it said he knew the peace and the blessing of God upon his ministry. He had to cease from the influence of the false doctrine. Dear believer, that shows us what error can do. What error can do. If you follow truth and are influenced by truth, then surely that truth is good. It's good for others. Godly instruction is good for you and for others. Oh, that we would listen to what the proverb says here, to cease from instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. That requires an understanding of truth. That requires spiritual discernment. That requires the Spirit of God to lead and to guide. It can be a difficult thing. Cease. Cease. There are many today in Christian circles. Someone may preach the full gospel, but there may be many errors beneath the surface. And just because they preach the gospel, they're lifted up and the errors are brushed under the carpet. I've seen that. Or someone might be good at singing or good at some sort of ministry, and the errors that are there are brushed under the carpet. They're not dealt with. They don't want to know why, because they're more focused upon the positive, upon that which they agree with, rather than that which ultimately they don't want to consider. And dear believer, while we are to be positive as the people of God, we are to be positive toward the doctrine of Christ. If there are those who neglect the true doctrine, those who fellowship with those who neglect the true doctrine, we are to come out from among them and be separate. We're to cease to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. How important that is. How important that is for the young generation. The young generation can be easily influenced. Easily influenced. I know because I've been there. You may know because you've been there. There are truths we may not fully understand. Truths you may not fully understand at this point in your life. And you can be liable to look and be influenced at that which is not true. Because that grounding in your faith and that grounding in doctrine, it's that ongoing work. You're still learning. You're still young. And you can be swayed. I had a book one time in my library, and my brother mentioned something about it. I had bought it years and years and years ago. I don't agree with the man in any sense or form, but the subject was one that interested me. I bought it. I had no idea who this guy was, and I read bits and pieces of it. I wasn't overly fussed, but it ended up, I rarely get rid of books, so it just ended up in my library for many, many years, and he made a comment on it. That I had this particular individual in my library, and he was quite shocked by it. But I bought it at a time where I had no idea about the ins and outs of the doctrines that this man believed, or even who he was. But there's a point where you could have been easily influenced by his doctrine. And therefore, the advice of those who are mature in the faith, those who know the truth, it's important. It's important to listen to the advice of others. If we see here, this is instruction. Cease, my son. The one who has maturity, the one who has experience, the one who has authority is speaking here and giving advice and giving guidance. Dear believer, those who are spiritually mature, you're to be those that instruct and have a good example to the younger. Those who are young are to seek examples, and those who are older and more experienced to help you in your Christian walk. When we think of this as well, not only can those who are young fall into error, but those who are older in years as well, there can be doctrines, there can be ideas that have been in your mind for 40, 50, 60 years. You've heard men preach these things. You've loved their preaching. Their preaching has greatly influenced you. But maybe something's wrong. And you don't want to hear a single thing against those doctrines. Be discerning. Seek the Lord. Seek His word. Be open to the fact that there could be error. That is why we're to examine ourselves, so that we know what error is from the Word of God and we deal with it by the grace and help of the Spirit of God. We're to cease from it. And it applies just as much to the young as to the old and everybody in between. The Word of God is our guide, and we must rest upon its truth. And thirdly and finally, tying in with this, we're to cleave unto the truth. This is what the implication is here. The errors are to be left behind. Truth is to be valued. And dear believer, the Word of God is to be valued. The Scriptures and their message are to be valued. There's a confidence found in truth. John Owen said, truth and good company will give a modest man a little confidence sometimes. And if you know the truth and cleave to the truth, you will be a confident believer because you're resting on Christ. We think of the martyrs who went to the stake and were burned for their faith during the times of the Reformation. And they went, we could say, like men. They went with confidence. They went with boldness. Why? They had a confidence in the truth that they believed. There was error. They stood against the error. They were perhaps some of the first who were preaching the truth of the gospel of Christ in the times of Reformation. There wasn't a great multitude of individuals behind them. They took a stand and they died confident in the truth of God. That brings us to consider the great importance of knowing the truth and believing the truth and learning the truth of God. We can think of the apostles who went forth with boldness and confidence. Why? They knew the truth. And dear believer, to know the truth, you have to cease from error. You have to put forth the Word of God as your only guide, your final rule of faith and practice. It's a truth to be contended for. Oh, that you and I would cleave to the truth of God. May that be what we are known for, cleaving to God's truth. It is a truth that is a redeeming truth, a redeeming truth. The truth of the gospel and what is found in the gospel deals with man and man's sin. Many will deny it. Many will walk over the gospel of Christ, yet it is the truth of the gospel that gives life. No other faith, no other religion can save. And this is why truth is so important. This is why we are told here to cease from error, because there is one truth, one way of salvation, one Savior, one Redeemer. Man's sin cannot be dealt with by any other means, whether it's in this world or whether it's within the church, whether it's in some sort of other religion. There is one way. And when we look at this world, whether it is other religions, whether it is entertainment, whatever it is, there is this common thread that it is against the truth of God. It sets up all sorts of ideas and philosophies that go against the gospel of Christ. And how enticing it is for individuals to get into that and take their eyes of Christ. There is one way of salvation. There is one gospel. Do you believe in that gospel today? Are you resting upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He the foundation of your faith? You're to cleave to Him. You're to cleave to His truth. You're to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Cleaving to the truth is vital for salvation, but it is also vital for holiness and sanctification. As we close, John Owen gives us a warning. He says, sometimes truth is lost first in a church, and then holiness. And sometimes the decay or hatred of holiness is the cause or loss of truth. But when either is rejected, the other will not abide. What is he saying? If holiness erodes within the church, if we move and start living a life that is unholy, it will cause the decay of truth. If truth is decayed within the church, it will cause the decay of holiness. The two go hand in hand. And dear believer, if you desire to live a holy life for Christ, then you need to abide in His truth. There needs to be that ceasing from the instruction that will lead into error and lead away from the knowledge of Christ. And there needs to be that embracing of everything, all truth concerned with our Savior. Do we desire to be holy Christians? Then we need to be found in the truth of God. May we do so. May we know His truth within our hearts, within our lives, changing us, sanctifying us through the power of His Spirit. May the Lord bless His word for His name's sake. Amen.
Today our devotional from C.H. Spurgeon comes from Ezekiel chapter 15 verse 2. Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? These words are for the humbling of God's people. They are called God's vine, but what are they by nature more than others? They, by God's goodness, have become fruitful. having been planted in a good soil. The Lord hath trained them upon the walls of the sanctuary, and they bring forth fruit to his glory. But what are they without their God? What are they without the continual influence of the Spirit, begetting fruitfulness in them? O believer, learn to reject pride, seeing that thou hast no ground for it. Whatever thou art, thou hast nothing to make thee proud. The more thou hast, the more thou art in debt to God, and thou shouldest not be proud of that which renders thee a debtor. Consider thine origin. Look back to what thou wast. Consider what thou wouldest have been but for divine grace. Look upon thyself as thou art now. Doth not thy conscience reproach thee? Do not thy thousand wanderings stand before thee, and tell thee that thou art unworthy to be called his son? And if he hath made thee anything, art thou not taught thereby that it is grace which hath made thee to differ? Great believer, thou wouldest have been a great sinner if God had not made thee to differ. O thou who art valiant for truth, thou wouldest have been as valiant for error if grace had not laid hold upon thee. Therefore be not proud, though thou hast a large estate, a wide domain of grace. Thou hadst not once a single thing to call thine own except thy sin and misery. Oh, strange infatuation, that thou, who hast borrowed everything, shouldest think of exalting thyself, a poor dependent pensioner, upon the bounty of thy Saviour, one who hath a life which dies without fresh streams of life from Jesus, and yet proud. Fie on thee, O silly heart. We thank you for listening to our programme today. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton. This is Let the Bible Speak. And we invite you to join us again tomorrow at the same time, 5 a.m. in the morning, 5 p.m. in the evening, as we consider the Word of God together. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.